Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe.
Second and seven. Irving breaks it back. Wakefield bounces it outside. He's got a burst. Bucky Irving down the sideline. Touchdown, Oregon.
Brought to you by Grillworks Supply Company.
Ben takes the shotgun snap. Bill Branson throws down the right sideline. An over-the-shoulder catch by Harrison. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Beavers!
Explore the flavors of Oregon at Grillworks Supply Company in Beaverton or at grillworkspdx.com.
Football is so fun. This is our job. That's crazy. It's so fun.
Now, here are your Football Sunday hosts, Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher, on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
You're about to get it right there.
You're about to get this.
No, don't say that. I'm not scared of you.
Welcome into Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
I'm
Ric Flair, woo! Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz across the glass. Oh my God, what a weekend so far it's been.
Was it? Has it been? I wouldn't know. I didn't get invited to the party.
Rashad's sodium levels are through the roof this morning. He is
fuming.
He is not happy. Apparently, he was the only person from Odyssey Portland that didn't go to the game, which is not true.
No, that is not true.
Not true at all. I mean, there was
because Sprague didn't go because he's an Oregon State alum. Is that what you're telling me?
No. I mean, you know, sales leadership, Cooley and
Isaac and Sue
Cooley.
Kim were not there. Isaac and Suk were not in attendance.
They're too famous to just show up to football games, sit in the crowd.
Who are we? Danny. I mean, Danny's not going to an Oregon game, and if he did, he would might not make it out alive. He's lucky that it's USC is playing in Oregon at one point, because then he can mix it up with all of his Trojan fans. But other than that, I mean, yeah, it was a good eclectic crowd there, but I don't think it was an overwhelming Odyssey Portland support out
there.
Doesn't
feel like it. Jordan, did you get to go to the game?
I was working.
He's
the
working.
Game.
Oh, so you went to go to the game and you got paid.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I had to get up at, what, 5:30?
Hey, How about this? At 5.
Will Ortner, Ryan Buckley held it down in the post-game show, the Pacific Office Automation post-game show back here in the studios. They didn't get to go.
They got paid, though.
Anthony Newman, who usually gets to go, did not get to go.
Give me experiences or give me money.
Yeah, I mean, hey, man, I want to go. Is it the only other host of Football Sunday didn't go to the game?
Hey man, you know the deal.
You didn't even say anything.
You know the deal. You got to send
you
text.
Didn't even
you got
to say anything.
Come on, man.
I work
what
with.
What do you want me to do?
I do a Sunday show weekly with the guy from the sales team.
Listen,
that gets tickets and didn't give your boy one.
Listen,
I don't say it's a black thing. Come on, Joe.
It might be.
Come on, Joe. Jeez, man.
We're the most racist show on the radio.
We might be.
This election year next year.
God, but that had to have been a hell of a game to be at.
Joe. Oh, yeah. I mean, listen.
Like, everything about it. Just from TV, it was like, oh, man, this is going
to
be a problem.
Shouts out to the client, because he asked before the TCU game, Colorado versus TCU, which was perfect timing. So locked him down for him and my dad and I, and you're going to be even more mad once I say this, Rashad. I was making ground bison pork sausage patties on breakfast sandos yesterday out at the tailgate. First bite, just egg yolk exploded all over my sweatshirt, cheese, gooiness. It was fantastic.
Well, see, now I was down there. I'm mad you didn't text me.
Let's rub it in.
See, so, no, Joe, you're failing.
Hey, I didn't text Dirt
accounts.
Or Dusty either.
Okay,
right?
okay, that's fair.
Listen, it was a lot of things were happening.
Dirt or Dusty both had like, they had a whole food setup. You know, they had a whole.
Yeah, you don't
you
get
know,
the media
and everything. They got
upstairs,
a whole
yeah,
media
no, actually,
thing.
It was a chicken sandwich on focaccia bread yesterday, and then we had a hot dog at halftime.
Screw your
for a
bison,
snack.
You know, trust breakfast me, sandwich.
Oh, dude, it was fantastic.
I prefer the
that.
Bison.
Didn't realize that a pound of bison was like $11. So you know,
sounds
found,
gross. To
found,
me.
Found that out. It's a good lean red meat.
No,
it's
bison
solid.
Is awesome. I honestly, if I'm making burgers, you know, being that I'm on this whole not be fat thing, you know, anymore. Bison actually goes great. Mm. You know, go ahead and grill it up a little bit, or you know, fry it up. Man, hey, that's a nice little hunk of meat, right?
People
there.
Always get turkey pause. Burgers, like to try and cut continue. The fat back. No, just do a bison burger.
Turkey burgers
so
are stupid.
Okay, so here's my defense. Love ground turkey. I use it for tacos, yeah. Burritos, spaghetti, sauces,
so that's why
pastas.
You're so sexy and svelte.
I
got to
keep
you
this girlish
ground
figure.
Turkey.
I got to keep get this it. Girlish figure. But as far as like if I'm going to make a burger, oh yeah, ground beef all day. Like I'm not ground turkey burgers.
You're not a heathen.
They dry out quick. You got to be careful with them.
I have a tip for that, and it really does work.
Render it with some fat.
Add bacon.
No, no, bacon does not work at all, actually, because what you need is moisture. There's literally no fat in the turkey, so there's no moisture. I know we're kind of going cooking show here. Feta cheese.
Cooking on 1080 The Fan.
Cooking on 1080 with Schultzy, Joe, and Rashad. No, so seriously, if you put ground turkey and you kind of mix it with some feta, like chunks of feta cheese,
okay,
and then you just throw it on the grill, it will keep it moist. And actually, I promise you, you will bite into a turkey burger and not be biting into a dry brick.
Some some feta crumbles, huh?
Yeah, and you don't taste the feta. You know, it's like, feta's gross. You really don't taste it. It's literally for the purpose of adding the moisture, and it works.
The best way to really eat a turkey burger is to throw it in the garbage because they're terrible.
I'm
not
you
eating
know,
any turkey burgers.
Fair.
Hey, listen, I...
They're just so dry and so gross.
With the amount of ground turkey I purchase, I never once to myself, like, turkey burger sounds good.
That's what it is tonight.
That's, yeah. That's...
Like, and I understand about putting it in tacos, or some people use it for, like, their...
You can't taste the difference. I'm telling you.
Like, you really can't. Like, when you're, you know, it
you
looks,
season
it looks
well,
gray.
And I, although I am white, I can season my my meats very well.
Use paprika and oregano.
Oh yeah, and then I do the whole trickle thing, like salt base, so that way it falls off my forearm into the dish. You
jeez,
know,
you're like Emeril Lagasse.
Disperses it a little bit more.
My,
but,
my wife makes a lean, a mean Thai lettuce wrap with just. It's
now
just,
see, there are certain things that with turkey, like exactly, yes, that's you know I would expect it with turkey or like chicken or something. That makes sense. So yeah, but either way, I'm pretty sure Dirt and Dusty weren't concerned with your delicious breakfast sandos.
Listen,
you know, out there when they have
I was
that
a little disappointed.
Full spread.
I think I made me one, my dad one, and then I did make my buddy Adam one. So somebody else did dive in on my meat. And other than that, I think after the game, I whipped out the meat again, and I got the grill going, or excuse me, the Coleman campfire stove.
Mm-hmm.
Bam, bam, bam. Got it going. Yeah. Dude, it was fantastic. Plenty of drinks.
Well, sounds like a good time.
Plenty of booze.
Again, I wasn't invited to, but...
How long did it take you to get home? Because it sounds like you were down there, Ben. You left probably right after the game.
Oh, well, that was the most preposterous part of this all, is that we left the stadium, hung out for like an hour in the parking lot, throwing the football around, drinking, eating bison burgers, all that. And then we went to, over in Springfield, the Gateway Grill for like a beer.
That helps.
Me and my dad and a couple buddies. Oh, it didn't, because by the time we got to like Corvallis... There was, you know, bumper to bumper all the way to Salem, essentially.
It was bad. It took
just south of Salem, like Ankeny Hill or something like that. And it was, it was so dumb. My dad was pissed because he was driving.
Yeah.
From our media lot to Wilsonville to my door, 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I didn't leave the parking lot for probably 25 minutes.
I thought we were in the safe. I thought we were in the clear. We literally spent 2 hours down in Eugene, basically, after the game and still caught some traffic on the way back. So
there's only 60,000 people at the game. I'm kind of shocked that, I mean, we need a 3-lane highway between Eugene and Salem.
Saying,
I think
it's like
that's
two lanes up until...
The hell
you know,
are we thinking?
Yeah, it gets to that. Once it opens up the bottleneck, then it just everybody starts going there. And
nobody in this state
Salem.
Planned for the future.
I leave immediately. I'm not trying to kick it after this game. I am getting out
of here. I mean, trust me, with that traffic last night, I was very much like, damn, this, it, by the time I dropped my dad off at his home, we left at about 6:20 a.m., 6:30 a.m. We got home around 10 p.m.
Hey, can I be- okay, so I wasn't the only one.
9:30, 10 p.m.
Even you waiting a couple hours, because I probably left right around 5. And yeah, I got home at 8.
And can I be honest? I don't think I've ever been at Autzen where it's been a close game to where I have to stay the entire game. Usually, UCLA game, we're up. They're not coming back. It's time to go. It's okay. Yeah. Started raining, stuff like that. It's like, yep, I think we're good. Game's over.
It's only like 2 a season.
They've won.
Kind of
like,
wait.
We can go. So traffic is a problem, but not as much of a problem because for me, luckily, I guess, the games are usually blowouts when I'm there, and so I can kind of exit early.
Well, you were right about yesterday's game in the sense that it was a blowout. Yeah, but
I have to stay to watch Colorado score there.
But
their
the atmosphere and just the vibes at Autzen Stadium, that game could have been 77-0, and 95% of that stadium was going to stay until the end of that game. Like, I think that, I mean, we're going to get into it here, but I have never seen an ass-kicking like that where the crowd just stays around the entire time.
They want
to
see it.
Like, the student sections, I've seen that plenty of times in blowouts. They clear out at halftime, right? Like, they're gone by the third quarter. You can move up a few rows, you know, kick it, get a little bit better seats. Oh, no. Oh, no, buddy. It was 42-0. That student section was still filled to the brim. The place was louder in the fourth than it was in the first. It was just never seen anything like it.
A lot of stuff to kind of go into that moment, especially for like kids in the student section. School school starts this week. Kids are back to campus.
Did you see the Navy
live?
The Navy parachuters before the game?
Yeah.
Passing
the flag all throughout the crowd and everything like that. So everyone could say, like, man, it was a different, the duck coming out dressed as Prime, like,
and losing his head.
Like,
oh,
yo, like, what's happening right now? At first I was like, uh-oh, that's a bad omen.
That's what I thought too.
That can't be good. That can't be good right there. But
I know.
No,
I was like,
it turns out that was the best thing to have happened to them, because that ass kicking that they got after that was, man.
Not to take too far of a diatribe off, but I will say I was curious about like mascot heads falling off because I worked for the Hillsboro Hops, but it was just like a one. You put it on as a suit. You couldn't lose it, essentially, which I feel like that's kind of the best way to go, probably, is one of these mascots. But the head allows you to be all athletic and the duck can run around and do what he did. But just the way that it was handled, I understand you can't let anybody see your face, but the way that you run back around, like, there was one that I found, I think it was the Northwestern Bearcat or whatever the hell theirs is, and he lost his head, but what he did, he acted like he died, and then they just put the cat head back on, and then he came back to life. Actually, like, on the ground, kind of in
subtle
front of everybody.
There.
But I kind of thought it was cool, but just the way that this ran yesterday, I was like, Puddles, that was about as bad. Did you not plan this? Did you forget the strap over your chin? Did you not think that swinging this big head with a cowboy hat and glasses on would make it fly off? Everything about that did not work out.
Well, I went and Zapruder filmed it a little bit because I was curious. I was like, was it like, did it just come off like as it, you know, in a swing, it flew off of his head? But he takes 3 good whacks at that clock. And then, like, the cardboard in it comes up and, like, kicks the helmet off. It hits his beak is what happens. And then
Well, then he keeps swinging. If you notice, it came off and he was still going to swing. Like, he really didn't realize it.
I cannot believe that happened.
And then ran like Naruto into the dressing room, into the locker room, man.
The motorcycle came out. And he wasn't on it, and that was even kind of like...
And no hype video.
This is awkward.
Kenny Wheaton's going to score pregame. It was weird.
Yeah, thank God. Look at me. I'm literally...
Well, no, and seeing
I'm reversing the film in the studio here. Back into the left. Back into the left.
Okay, seeing it on the big screen at Autzen, that was kind of weird too. Because I mean, everybody just like I don't know if you were either watching him or looking at the big screen, but just the big shot of the duck's booty running away with his head down. It was like,
yeah.
Oh, he gives this a good whack. He just obliterates this thing, and then the carper comes flying up, gives him a left hook, and then there goes the duck's head. Wow. Well, yeah. I mean, that was the worst thing that happened to the Ducks, I feel like, yesterday. Besides giving up a touchdown at the end, what are you doing?
But they were playing against the twos and threes for Oregon, man. Come on.
I know. Bo Nix
threw a pick too. Are you going to pick that apart?
Oh my God. Well, I will because it was terrible. But other than that,
you're not wrong. He still had a 90% completion rate though.
Other than that, we got to get into the rest of the game. What we saw on both sides of the ball, on not just for the Ducks but for the Colorado Buffaloes, we got. A lot of rubber meeting the road in the Pac-12 this weekend. Some things, you know, it start to finally see what teams are going to separate themselves from the rest of the conference, and we got that yesterday, so we'll get into some of that. We're going to head up to Corvallis and check on head up to the Palouse and see how things went up there with Oregon State and Washington State. And then some NFL football in the second hour. I believe that at 9:45 fantasy football scramble as well. And do you want to do some Who Do You Love?
Ooh, really?
I would love
Let's
to
do
some it. Who Do You Love.
Let's do it.
Cowboys by a million.
Yeah, losing my virginity to the segment of Who Do You Love, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, my first time.
Taking that V card. Let's go.
I think you're in charge of it too.
Am I?
I mean, it's just play music and, you know, we all just give our picks. You know?
Oh, that's easy.
Okay.
Do some gambling here, you know?
Okay.
I already lost $75 this week. Do I have to lose more?
Oh, no. I mean, this is all just to sound like we know what we're talking about. You don't actually have to put money on this. I always love doing that. Man, if I put money on that game, if I put money on that, and then when I finally do put money on it, I'm wrong. So,
well, I picked Colorado to cover the spread yesterday, so I'm still kind of reeling from that.
Oof. Oofka. Listen, bud. Hey, don't blame you. You win some, you lose some. Football Sunday, brought to you by Grill Works Supply Co. Go check them out in Hall Boulevard. Explore the flavors of the Northwest. Go to grillworkspdx.com as well to check out their huge selection of everything grill-related. I mean, literally everything. Sauces, rubs, grills, accessories. But first, let's dive into the Oregon Ducks and the Colorado Buffaloes. Boy, what a week we'll do. Get to that next here, Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe. Brought to you by Grillwork Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes, they played their first conference game of the last Pac-12 season, and it was at Autzen Stadium in Eugene yesterday. I believe the spread was at 21 and a half, something like that, I believe, depending on what time you got it. So Oregon, big favorites going into this one. We've all seen Colorado's offense and how high-powered it can be from Shedeur Sanders throwing the ball, at least, that offense. Then the game happened, Rashad, and from kickoff to the final knee, whatever the final play was, I was out of that stadium by then. The Oregon Ducks showed just how big of a gap there is between the Colorado Buffaloes and the Oregon Ducks. And I don't know where you want to start, if you want to go start with the Deion angle, but, I mean, that was an ass-kicking of epic proportion. So I feel like talking about the Ducks and everything they did right yesterday is where we got to start.
I mean, that's probably where you should start, just considering that this is the best game that Oregon's played in, what, the four games they played so far? This is the best one.
In a while. I mean, like, hell, gosh. I mean, think of the games even last year. Real quickly before you get going is towards the end of the game, sales extraordinaire Kurt Ludwig, he actually had a front row ticket, him and a couple other Odyssey people. I'm sure that makes you feel even better now.
Those were on the resale market going for $15,000.
Oh, yeah.
Something
yeah.
that I saw.
So,
that's insane.
You just wanted to rub that in?
Towards the end of the game, I wanted to make sure that the ESPN reporters down on the field knew what they witnessed. So I was, there was this, you know, nice, lovely looking blonde ESPN reporter that was on the sideline. So I was just yelling at her, "Hey, tell everybody what you saw here today. Write all the stories, write all the articles. Make sure you tell everybody. 42-0 is what I was telling her. Because I feel like that is the story here. It's not, wow, Colorado and Deion. Ew. It's Oregon kicked the hell out of them.
Yeah. Oregon. I mean, there's really, like Deion said, you know, there's an old, good old-fashioned butt-kicking. That was just, there's nothing, there's no really getting around, you know, that point. Like, it should be noted, like, I mean, and it doesn't really matter, you know, to anybody at this point. But a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Travis Hunter as being one of the best players in the country.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not playing. And so that's a big part of your offense and your defense that you took off the field. So it doesn't matter. The one good thing I can say for Colorado, if there's anything, is that if you're Shedeur Sanders or you're Shiloh, you played well. If nothing else, you played well. Your stats don't indicate that you were trash at all. I think Shiloh had like nine or eight solo tackles or something like that. But outside of that, like, there's nothing to really be happy about if you're Colorado. I think you've played, if we're being real, they've played better competition than Oregon up until this point. If we're being real, Oregon played Portland State, Hawaii, and who was
Texas Tech? Texas Tech's probably the best team of the two.
You know, Colorado's at least played two pretty good teams and one team that's maybe middle of the road. You know, so coming into this game, I honestly thought a lot of Oregon fans were a little kind of arrogant about the game. You know, just as far as, like, you know.
There was definitely a feeling coming into this game where I was confident in Oregon, but I was just like, man, we're feeling ourselves this week, aren't we?
And, I mean, I guess that's a good thing, you know, especially if you're the players, to know that you can go out there and screw the hype, all that other stuff. You can go out there and get a W, especially at home. But for me, and this is why I was a little more hesitant to say Oregon was going to just kill them, is because we know, as Oregonians and Joe being a Duck fan, that, man, expectations are the kryptonite of the Oregon Ducks. When we expect them to do something great or run the gamut or do whatever, like, there's usually some type of disappointment. This isn't just Dan Lanning I'm talking about. This is going back to Bilotti and Joey and Jason and any other great player, and Marcus, any other great player that Oregon has had and been so close to doing something and then been disappointed. Some been tripped up by some team that had no business beating Oregon, Utah, you know, over the last like few years. So I was a little more hesitant to say Oregon was just going to dominate this game, because if one thing we know is Prime can coach. We can say what we want to. Prime can coach. Yesterday just wasn't an example of, you know, of that. And players mess up. And I think he messed up. And I think Colorado's doing up downs the entire week. There's no running plays. It's conditioning this week because Oregon just outclassed them and just flat out made them look slow.
Well, what killed me throughout the game was, I think I said this before the show started. I was like, no turnovers on either side of the ball, Jordan, if I can remember. Besides Bo's pick, but I mean, I don't think Colorado threw an interception or gave up a fumble at all.
A couple of breakups by Kyrie Jackson.
Right.
Really good, but yeah, no picks on Oregon's end, and I think there was like a fumble, but it was recovered.
Yeah, so like technically you lose the turnover battle, you know, 1-0, but that's what killed me about it is the pressure and the defense all around all three levels.
Yeah.
Was absolute lockdown. And that's what I loved seeing the most was, and it was a big thing going into this week, was give Shador Sanders pressure. He's not that fast. He's not very mobile. They don't have a run game. So fluster him, blitz him, exotic blitz packages. And it just looked like he was everywhere he looked or ran, there was a body moving in front of him, whether it was his guy, and he was shook, would never look comfortable. What they finished with, five sacks, six sacks, something like that, six or seven.
You know, I mean, it was four by the end of the first half. Let me just chime in here, guys. This game was not something that I expected to happen the way that it did. I thought, kind of like Rashad was mentioning, the cover of the spread, there was a good chance of that happening. It was a 21.5 point earlier this week. I think it went down to 21. A lot of people in Vegas were thinking this was going to be a beatdown like it was. I did not, after seeing Shador open up against one of the teams in the national championship last year, TCU, 500 plus yards passing, I think four or five touchdowns just absolutely went off. And since Oregon's secondary has been a point of weakness, it's just kind of thinking, okay, well, that seems like it's a recipe for disaster. Thankfully, that did not happen. I just mentioned those breakups by Kyrie. On the defensive end, I got a chance to ask Coach Prime after the game what affected him most on Oregon's defense, and it was their ability to get to the quarterback. You guys are mentioning those sacks. Absolutely. No turnovers. I hear you're disappointed about that, Joe. I don't think they needed the turnovers.
Oh, I mean, they did not, actually. Yeah. I mean,
they were all over Shador.
You would love to see the end of the first half.
It was insane.
Yeah, I'm not disappointed at all. I would just say that it was interesting to see that much dominance of a game. Like, you take that score at face value and then just be like, yeah, and they didn't have a takeaway. Like, they just kicked the hell out of them and just kept flustering Shador in that offensive line.
I didn't expect to see Ty Thompson yesterday. I mean,
it was nice to see him.
42-0. Yeah. So what are you going to do? You have to rest Bo.
You know he can play. You know, you rested Bo for a little bit, but I think you both said it. Like, and Deion said it. Like, they couldn't protect the quarterback. They kept, when you keep getting to your quarterback, you have no chance. And it's like you said, they don't really have a run game in Colorado. And Deion acknowledged the fact that the run game wasn't there. And they couldn't protect Shador Sanders. And Shador was like, yeah, I can't take sacks like that. Like, we're not going to win games. And it wasn't like Oregon was throwing a bunch of, like, exotic blitz packages or anything at them. They were just coming at them, and the offensive line of Colorado just couldn't stop them. And if you see somebody can't stop that blitz, then why am I dropping back into coverage? No, I'm going to keep coming at you every single time.
One stat before we break here. That last little drive by Colorado when Ducks had the backups in, 93-yard drive, right?
Mm.
If you take that drive away, 106 yards total offense for Colorado up until that point.
Mm-hmm.
106 total yards, essentially through 3.5 quarters.
Their rushing total until some point in the fourth quarter was in the minus. They were not able to get on the other side of the ball. I understand some of those were the Shador sacks. I think it was like a 15-yard and an 18-yard at one point that brought that back, but they could not get any movement in the trenches against Oregon.
They finished with 40 rushing yards.
But it was nice to see.
Oregon 240.
I thought the defense was really the star of the game. Like, obviously the offense putting up, you know, 40-plus points is always impressive, but the fact that the defense didn't really give up any big plays outside of the, you know, the long, was it 93 yards? 90, what'd you say?
Oh, the 93-yard drive. Yeah,
93-yard drive outside of...
Against the twos and threes.
Outside of that, like, the defense showed up. And sometimes it doesn't show up in the stat sheet as far as interceptions, fumble recoveries, and things like that. But if you make it difficult for them to move the ball consistently, and there's consistent three and outs, and teams just, you know, can't really find a rhythm, then I think that means your defense is out there and has him flustered. And you could tell that Shedeur Sanders, for the first time, and mind you, I don't know because I haven't seen all of his games, like, you know, from start to finish as far as his games at Colorado. So I'm not sure how he's handled pressure so far, but at this game, he looked like, yeah, this is getting frustrating at this point. You know, you take all those sacks at a point, you start looking at your offensive line like, what the hell? Help.
I don't think those speakers on the hand trolley worked.
Probably not.
No.
Oh, playing the Ducks fight song.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was just a tad bit louder than that.
And I will, before we go, Joe, to break, I will add, it was very special to see what Coach Prime said after the game. I feel like everybody's been so in on them, kind of hoping that they would beat Oregon, but then waiting to see exactly how he would react after this first big loss, after such success. And it just added to the allure, added to that mysterious awesomeness that is Deion Sanders, because the way that he handled that loss, ate his humble pie, ate his crow, said, you know what, old-fashioned butt-whooping, we got to be better. We didn't play good in any aspect. After being so fervent after each of those wins, I couldn't help but, my sports pants are getting pretty tight. It's like, I love coaches like this. Oh, guys that are God. In your
even
face
in a loss,
win.
Everybody loves Deion.
Yo, I mean, well,
he's
listen,
a Hall of Famer,
listen,
you jackass.
Listen, and here's the cool part. And there's a lot of people, I know you're joking, Joe, but there's a lot of people that truly feel that way. It's like, man, why are we talking about Deion? They lost it. We're talking about Deion because we're talking about Colorado. We're talking about the Buffaloes, right? Like, he came in and made this team who hasn't been relevant in college football in 20 years, 25 years, and he came in and he instantly made them a top 25 team. Made this game the game of the week, number 10 versus 19. Like, everybody wanted to see what Deion Sanders was going to do at Autzen Stadium, and not because he's just the Hall of Famer, but because, man, he's – saying all the things that you want coaches to say. We're going to work hard. We're going to grind. We're going to grind for each other. We're going to fight for each other. Those are all the things that you want any great coach to say to you. And Deion is kind of practicing what he preaches. So, I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm good with Prime. Like, Prime can't do no wrong to me, you know, not at this point. And so, although they got their ass kicked by the Ducks, are they going to play the Ducks every week? No, and I think they're going to learn from this by doing up downs for the rest of the week.
Yeah, and you know, they'll have to learn their lesson quick because they just you know, got to play USC at home next week at a 9 a.m. kick. By the way,
yeah, I know that's brutal
between USC and Colorado. Brutal.
He takes it beyond winning, though. That's the thing. Winning and losing, obviously, I am a fervent winning-losing guy when I watch sports. Like, I want my team to win, but sports is always just the greatest reality show on television, right? And there are many things beyond the winning and losing aspect of the game. This is one of them. This is, right now, I think, the brightest story in sports beyond winning and losing.
Eugene is in a great mood today. The University of Oregon, Corvallis, and the Oregon State Beavers. Their season hits a little bit of a road bump, and it was up in the Palouse. We get to that next. This is Football Sunday, brought to you by Grillworks Supply Co. But first, Jordan Schultz with SportsCenter Update.
Your Sunday home for college football recaps and the NFL. This is Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Ducks with a big win. Cougs with a big win. Washington State up in the Palouse yesterday. They host Oregon State. And that Beavers defense, man, that's a coming to Jesus moment right there. That's a humbling day up there taking on Cam Ward. And quite frankly, the offense and DJ Uiagalelei needs to, you know, have an interesting film session today, too, because, again, we can kind of be like last segment, like, where do you want to start giving props to the Cougs for pulling off a big win? Cam Ward, as I said earlier in the season, one of the most underrated, under-talked about quarterbacks in this conference or country, and he had, like, 300 yards passing at halftime damn near. Like, again, great for the Cougs, but not an ideal start for the Beavs in conference play at all.
This is definitely not where you want it to be, and especially against Washington State, who we have to give, I think that's where we do start, is by giving credit to Washington State, because, mind you, these are the two teams in the Pac-12 that nobody wanted. everybody passed on them. No, we'll take. It was like a draft, or like you're getting picked for kickball, and Oregon State and Washington State are last. Nobody wants, you know, either one of
those. Well, it was the
de
facto Pac-2 championship game.
I mean, that's awesome. And if nothing else, it looked like it could have been a good game. It ended on a better note, but because Oregon State was getting mollywopped for most of the game, if we're being real, up until that fourth quarter where they woke up and started and put, what, three touchdowns on the board? Like, okay, here we go, Oregon State.
And it's just that too little too late feeling that you see. It's just like, don't do this to us.
If there were
really
four more minutes in the game, then Oregon State might have had a chance. But the fact is they ran out of steam, and I'm starting to think that DJ Ungulele.
Uyunglele.
That's right. DJ Uyunglele isn't the guy. I'm starting to think that. We've seen three games of him as the starting quarterback, and in three games he's been incredibly regular. And we know that Oregon State can still kind of stay afloat based on their defense. But, I mean, last night kind of says otherwise. But I still believe in Oregon State's defense because we've seen them grow over the past few years. So I'm not going to say their first loss of the season to, you know, a conference opponent. I'm not going to say the sky's falling yet. Like I said, they end up making it a closer game towards the end of the game. It doesn't really matter now. You lost by three, but I mean, there's still a lot to learn if you're Oregon State, but I just think you might need a new trigger man. And I know this sucks because he was your transfer. You know, you're coming in, you're getting somebody that's a kind of a veteran college player. And unfortunately, it just hasn't worked out the way you wanted it to just yet. I don't know if you want to pull the trigger and make that change just yet, but I feel like you have to do something if you're Oregon State because your quarterback play hasn't been awesome. I mean, Sean Mannion's not walking through that door anytime soon. So they're going to have to figure out a way to be able to move the ball and get the ball to some of your impact players because so far it hasn't happened.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be too reactionary after the 1 week of conference play. They have their next game Friday against Utah. And Utah with just a huge juggernaut offensive victory yesterday, 14-7 over UCLA. But that's going to be their home opener, their conference home opener against Utah Friday, 6 o'clock
at Rising too.
Exactly, and that's. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be reactionary on that first conference game, but yeah, man. I mean, you want to see some strides here in the next few weeks from DJU, and I think it's kind of almost like that that situation with Anthony Brown. Like, are you going to ride it out here?
Is this it? Is
with
this
DJU, or are like Aiden Childs, the freshman that Beaver fans have been waiting for, like are very intrigued by being their next quarterback? Like, he might be the guy next year, but again, it's like how many games of this offense having to run the ball, and then scramble late here, throwing the ball and pray that it works out well. And to their credit, they were able to help on a fourth down pass interference call that they kept one of the drives alive. But yeah, it's just when you see a quarterback like Cam Ward, and I understand Washington State's offense is built a little different to play towards the pass. But again, when you just see guys like that perform against you, you feel a little, well, it would be nice if we had a little bit better toy to play with at quarterback.
Well, Oregon State, unfortunately, as far as yesterday goes, I mean, they were down 14-0 to start just because Washington State got the ball first. So they scored both times on their first two possessions. Yeah. It's obviously
bam, bam, you're down right away. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they came back after their first punt and scored, you know, at 7-14. But then I think you start getting into, well, the lack of being able to set up the actual pass over the top with the run, that was hurting their offense a lot because you had DJ Uiagalelei throw that pick. That turned into, I believe it was a touchdown, or no, excuse me, there were a couple of exchanges of turnovers, kind of getting into some crazy play into the first and second quarter. But essentially, Oregon State never could get over the top. They were playing from behind the whole time. And yeah, just with that fumble and with no ability for Uiagalelei to go over the top, man, it just, what's Washington State going to expect every time? Oregon State's a run-first team, so if they smash the box, then yeah, Deshaun Fenwick can run for a bunch of touchdowns, but it doesn't matter because you have Cam Ward, and your offense sailed in outside of a couple of crappy turnovers last night in every aspect of the game last night for Wazoo.
Yeah, it was, again, all the credit to Washington State and Jake Dickert. The text line, the Vancouver Four text line chimed in, said that you need that we apparently need to listen to his post-game press conference if we haven't. He took shots, especially at Corso. This comes from Matt and Pullman. Just throwing shots at Corso. Just, come on, leave the old man be at this time.
Yeah. Why do they put him on TV at this point?
Well, I think this is kind of a swan song season, but they haven't like officially said it. But
he comes out there for 2 minutes, right? It's not much anymore. He comes out, he makes the pick, and he leaves, right?
It's Corso. It's
Vince Vaughn was their guest picker this last week, so I know that they always bring a celeb in still.
Dickie V, there are certain guys just bring out just for the nostalgia of it, and I think that's what Corso's role is.
By the way, Vince Vaughn picked Colorado to win. Idiot. Well, he was the only one on the panel. Everybody
so
else
did Mad
Oregon.
Dog Russo. Did anybody talk see him? He was probably tripping on TV because he was like, I'm gonna take half a gummy. I'm gonna put 10,000 on Colorado. I was like, what?
Coach Ron, you cost me money, Coach.
Oh, he was right on First Take talking about how he's gonna be taking gummies watching the Oregon
and Marcus Spears' face is like, wait, what? You're gonna do what now?
Hey, I do enjoy that cannabis talk has made its way into the mainstream.
Say, listen, all right, we all know what needs to happen here in Congress soon, so just make it happen.
Just do it. Everybody's not just having a beer. Sometimes
sign the bill on hemp paper.
A hemp wick.
Yeah.
Well, if you're Oregon State, you get to rebound next week with a game against Utah. And if you can show that you're halfway competent at the quarterback position, then I think you'll restore a lot of people's confidence in the Beavs.
All right, we got 15 minutes till kickoff in the NFL season. We didn't really set up Fantasy Scramble that much. I mean,
Pacheco?
We haven't gotten a text. We haven't gotten a damn thing. How about we have this be our Fantasy Scramble / Football Scramble to start, so that way the fans out there that are listening can start to understand what to expect at 9:45 here.
Right. Just a tip.
But if you got start
just,
sit
just
questions,
a tip. Yeah, just a little bit here.
But if you do have a start sit question, now's the time.
Start sit. You're
14 minutes.
You're sitting there in a fetal position, rocking back and forth because you don't know who to start at running back. We got you. All right.
Oh yeah, I'm reeling from the Nick Chubb injury. He was my top pick in my fantasy draft this year.
His Chubb went down.
So did
he
mine.
He needs to figure out.
So did my Chubb.
Oh, okay. All right, let's take a break. Football Sunday, brought to you by Girl Work Supply Co. We will do Fantasy Scramble next on 1080 The Fan.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe, brought to you by Grill Work Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Oh, some Childish Gambino to get you old. Football Sunday, baby. Call 1-800-69-420-69. Automatic locks.
I don't know how those guys with those voices have
a lot of cigars, I'm sure.
I don't know how they have jobs in radio.
Trust me, this one's a winner.
They don't. That's why they're doing the
call-in.
Oh,
no, some of them
lines.
Do. I've heard them. It's like, yo, this. I don't know how you're doing this, bro, but congratulations.
I'm loving Colorado against the Ducks.
Kind of like
not just covering money line.
San Diego guy from back in the day.
If you want to text in your starter sit, again, you got like 10 minutes here, at least for the first wave of the morning game. So please, please text in. We'll be doing this every week at 9:45. But how about we just look at the NFL slate today real quickly, huh? Some intriguing matchups.
I got a question for you guys.
Please
Fantasy
do.
Scramble for me.
Please do. Let's
really
scramble it up.
So, yeah, Nick Chubb out for me. I am now reeling, trying to look for running back points for the rest of the season. Pacheco is questionable for today with that hamstring injury.
Oh boy.
And he is a game-time decision, which for fantasy sucks because you don't know if he's going to play or not. So I've essentially had to do like 3 waiver wire pickups. I'm trying to decide whether to start him or Tony Jones Jr., who should be getting most of the carries today for Nolens because Jamal Williams and Alvin Kamara are out. And Tony Jones Jr. had, I believe, a couple of touchdowns for Nolens last week. I'm thinking a combo of him and Taysom Hill would give me the best chance for scoring more points.
Oh, you going the dual Saints combo?
Because Taysom also, he runs, he passes, he catches the ball. That's, you know, like Cordarrelle Patterson, man. You could really get some sleeper fantasy points. So I'm really reeling, guys. Help me out. Pacheco or Tony Jones Jr. today.
And they're playing the Packers. The Saints are.
Yes, it's a 10 a.m. game, so I got Chicago? 10 minutes to make this decision.
Oh, dear God. Kansas City, who are they playing today?
Chicago?
Chicago Bears.
The Bears. Well, why would I play Pacheco if I'm playing the Bears, actually? If I'm Andy Reid, that might have just answered my question. Maybe give you week to sit, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Bears have given up 38 points and 27 points to the Packers and Buccaneers, respectively. They have scored only 20 and 17 in those games. So the way that Justin Fields is playing at Kansas City, one of the toughest environments in football. Yeah, give me Pacheco. I feel like that defense, or excuse me, that Bears offense isn't going to be on the field a lot, and that Kansas City offense will be, and they will be putting up points.
I'm with Justin Fields. It's the coach's fault. It's not his fault. It's the coach's. He doesn't suck. The coaches do. And that's the reason that the Bears can't score and they can't win games. So
didn't their offensive coordinator go like AWOL for like a week?
Did something like that.
Like it's not good in Chicago.
I'm saying Pacheco as well.
All right, you guys both say Pacheco?
Yes.
And it looks like as of 9:30, he is going to play. So.
Woo! There you go, buddy.
All right, I'm going to go with you guys. I'm going to take Tony Jones Jr. off, and we're going to throw Pacheco in the starting lineup.
Let's be real. You could have told me that Tony Jones Jr. played for any team, and I would have believed you. I had no idea who the hell Tony Jones Jr. was. I mean, the Saints' offense has been very underwhelming to start this year.
You're not wrong.
And so as far as, you know, catching my eye on the red zone channel, let's be real, they haven't been on the red zone channel a lot this year.
No.
So. Oh, and you know what I just realized? The quarterback that I'm facing is Pat Mahomes. So Pacheco would be the better starter because
He gets any rushing touchdowns, yeah, just hope maybe he doesn't get any receiving touchdowns.
No. Well, if he gets a receiving touchdown to Pacheco, then I get the points that Mahomes gets.
I mean, Mahomes is going to get his passing points regardless. So, yeah, if any of those can get to Pacheco, yeah, absolutely right. Hey, text. I mean, there's not a lot of context on it, but on the Vancouver Ford text line, it says, should I start Taysom Hill?
See, I mean, I would say so because
it depends where.
Yeah, and against who versus, like, what are your options? I mean, the fact that it seems like you don't have any other options, you probably should. Well, I was going to say to you, Jordan, damn, week three, and you are in some dire straits already at the running back position.
It sucks. I'm 2-0, so I'm like, oh, I got started off really, really nicely, but this is terrible. But Taysom wasn't one of my guys that I was really
leaning
on. Playing
Green Bay at Green Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was more of a pickup on the waiver wire that I thought was interesting, and I'm always looking for guys that can score points multiple ways. Taysom Hill is one of those options, and if you look at him so far this year, at least in my league, I know fantasy points, scoring is different. He had almost no points in week one, but then in week two, just over eight against Carolina, one of the worst teams in the league, obviously because he passed, he caught, and he was able to rush as well. So I would say, if you want to start him at your tight end, or if it's a two flex, because I don't know what you guys are in, I'm in a one flex position league, I would feel comfortable starting him at your second flex position, but I would not start him at your top flex position unless you really had to. So don't do it.
I'm with you on there, because if he's your number one flex, like I said, boy, rough. Have fun. Have fun working the waiver wire. That was always my favorite part of playing fantasy when I was good at it. And that's when I started to not be good at it, is when, like, life took a hold and I couldn't log in Tuesday morning right away and put in, like, 20 waiver claims. I was one of the best GMs in fantasy for years.
You know, looking up those guys that you don't know.
Create the 30 for 30, all right?
Yeah, blaming Joe Jr.
You see those guys that you don't know score in a game, you're like, huh, who does he play for?
Yeah, dude,
oh, nobody? Yeah, I'm getting him.
No, I was left behind. I definitely got left behind in the fantasy game. What are some other good games that are happening? We got Jags, Texans. Rashad is a little nervous about starting Trevor Lawrence. Was that what it was?
Yeah, I got Trevor Lawrence.
Because he's 1-3 against the Texans in his career.
Yeah, and Russell Wilson was dynamite last week. And so,
You know, a big old Hail Mary at the end will definitely help some fantasy points.
It definitely will, and it did. But he was on the bench, so it didn't matter. And Trevor Lawrence was hot garbage last week.
He's
so,
like QB too.
Yeah, so I'm kind of curious about, you know, do I start Danger Wilson or do I just leave, you know, long hair Trevor? You know, Trevor with the good hair.
He had a terrible game last week as well, by the way. Against Kansas City, I think he only scored like 10 fantasy points. It was bad.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I'm going to say stay away from anybody playing the Dolphins.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid.
If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Your Sunday home for college football recaps and the NFL. This is Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Ducks with a big win. Cougs with a big win. Washington State up in the Palouse yesterday. They host Oregon State. And that Beavers defense, man, that's a coming to Jesus moment right there. That's a humbling day up there taking on Cam Ward. And quite frankly, the offense and DJ Uiagalelei needs to, have an interesting film session today, too, because... Again, we can kind of be like last segment, like, where do you want to start giving props to the Cougs for pulling off a big win? Cam Ward, yeah. As I said earlier in the season, one of the most underrated, under-talked about quarterbacks in this conference or country. And he had like 300 yards passing at halftime, damn near. Like, great for the Cougs, but not an ideal start for the Beavs in conference play at all.
This is definitely not where you want it to be, and especially against Washington State, who... We have to give, I think we have, that's where we do start, is by giving credit to Washington State because, mind you, these are the two teams in the Pac-12 that nobody wanted. Everybody passed on them. No, we'll take, it was like a draft or like you're getting picked for kickball and Oregon State and Washington State are last. Nobody wants, you know, either one of
those
guys.
Well, it was the de facto Pac-2 championship game.
I mean, that's awesome. And if nothing else, it looked like it could have been a good game. It ended on a better note, but because Oregon State was getting mollywopped for most of the game, if we're being real, up until that fourth quarter where they woke up and started and put, what, 3 touchdowns on the board? Like, okay, here we go, Oregon State.
And it's just that too little too late feeling that you see. It's just like, don't do this to us.
If there were
really
4 more minutes in the game, then Oregon State might have had a chance. But the fact is they ran out of steam, and I'm starting to think that DJ Uiagalelei?
Uiagalelei.
That's right. DJ Uiagalelei isn't the guy. I'm starting to think that. We've seen 3 games of him as the starting quarterback, and in 3 games, he's been incredibly regular. And we know that Oregon State can still kind of stay afloat based on their defense. But, I mean, last night kind of says otherwise, but I still believe in Oregon State's defense because we've seen them grow over the past few years. So I'm not going to say their first loss of the season to, you know, a conference opponent. I'm not going to say the sky's falling yet. Like I said, they end up making it a closer game towards the end of the game. It doesn't really matter now. You lost by 3, but I mean, there's still a lot to learn if you're Oregon State. But I just think you might need a new trigger man. And I know this sucks because he was your transfer. You know, you're coming in, you're getting somebody that's a kind of a veteran college player. And unfortunately, it just hasn't worked out the way you wanted it to just yet. I don't know if you want to pull the trigger and make that change just yet, but I feel like you have to do something if you're Oregon State because your quarterback play hasn't been awesome. I mean, Sean Mannion's not walking through that door anytime soon. So they're going to have to figure out a way to be able to move the ball and get the ball to some of your impact players because so far it hasn't happened.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be too reactionary after the 1 week of conference play. They have their next game Friday against Utah. And Utah with just a huge juggernaut offensive victory yesterday, 14-7 over UCLA. But that's going to be their home opener, their conference home opener against Utah Friday, 6 o'clock.
Rising, too.
Exactly. And that's, yeah. I mean, I don't want to be reactionary on that first conference game, but yeah, man, I mean, you want to see some strides here in the next few weeks from DJU. And I honestly, I mean, I think it's kind of almost like that that situation with Anthony Brown. Like, are you going to ride it out here?
Is this it?
With DJU, or are, like, Aiden Childs, the freshman that Beaver fans have been waiting for, like, are very intrigued by being their next quarterback? Like, he might be the guy next year, but again, it's like how many games of this offense having to run the ball, and then scramble late here, throwing the ball and pray that it works out well. And to their credit, they were able to help on a fourth down pass interference call that they kept one of the drives alive. But yeah, it's just when you see a quarterback like Cam Ward, and I understand Washington State's offense is built a little different to play towards the pass. But again, when you just see guys like that perform against you, you feel a little, well, it would be nice if we had a little bit better toy to play with at quarterback.
Well, Oregon State, unfortunately, as far as yesterday goes, I mean, they were down 14-0 to start just because Washington State got the ball first. So they scored both times on their first two possessions. Yeah. It's obviously
bam, bam, you're down right away. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they came back after their first punt and scored, you know, it's 7-14. But then I think you start getting into, well, the lack of being able to set up the actual pass over the top with the run, that was hurting their offense a lot because you had DJ Uiagalelei throw that pick. That turned into, I believe it was a touchdown, or no, excuse me, there were a couple of exchanges of turnovers, kind of getting into some crazy play into the first and second quarter. But essentially, Oregon State never could get over the top. They were playing from behind the whole time. And yeah, just with that fumble and with no ability for Uiagalelei to go over the top, man, it just, what's Washington State going to expect every time? Oregon State's a run first team, so if they smash the box, then yeah, Deshaun Fenwick can run for a bunch of touchdowns, but it doesn't matter because you have Cam Ward, and your offense sailed in outside of a couple of crappy turnovers last night in every aspect of the game last night for Wazoo.
Yeah, it was, again, all the credit to Washington State and Jake Dickert. The text line, the Vancouver Ford text line chimed in, said that we apparently need to listen to his post-game press conference if we haven't. He took shots, especially at Corso. This comes from Matt and Pullman. Just throwing shots at Corso. Just, come on, leave the old man be at this time.
Yeah. Why do they put him on TV at this point?
Well, I think this is kind of a swan song season, but they haven't officially said it, but
he comes out there those for are the vibes 2 minutes, right? It's not much anymore. He comes out, he makes the pick, and he leaves, right?
It's Corso, it's
Vince Vaughn was their guest picker this last week, so I know that they always bring a celeb in still.
Dickie V, there are certain guys just bring out just for the nostalgia of it, and I think that's what Corso's role is.
By the way, Vince Vaughn picked Colorado to win. Idiot. Well, he was the only one on the panel. Everybody
else did Mad Dog Russo. Did anybody talk to see him? He was probably tripping on TV because he was like, I'm gonna take half a gummy. I'm gonna put 10,000 on Colorado. I was like,
Coach Ron, you cost me money, Coach.
Oh, he was right on First Take talking about how he's gonna be taking gummies watching the Oregon Colorado.
And Marcus Spears' face is like, wait, what? You're gonna do what now?
Hey, I do enjoy that cannabis talk has made its way into the mainstream.
Say, listen, all right. We we all know what needs to happen here in Congress soon, so just make it happen.
Just do it. Everybody's not sign just having bill. A beer. Sometimes it's a it's
sign
a
the
joint.
Bill on hemp paper.
With a hemp wick.
Yeah.
Well, if you're Oregon State, you get to rebound next week with a game against Utah. And if you can show that you're halfway competent at the quarterback position, then I think you'll restore a lot of people's confidence in the Beavs.
All right, we got 15 minutes till kickoff in the NFL season. We didn't really set up Fantasy Scramble that much. I mean,
Pacheco?
We haven't gotten a text. We haven't gotten a damn thing. How about we have this be our Fantasy Scramble / Football Scramble to start? So that way, the fans out there that are listening can start to understand what to expect at 9:45 here.
Right. Just a tip.
But if you got start-sit questions.
Just a tip, yeah, just a little bit here.
But if you do have a start-sit question, now's the time.
Start-sit, you're
14 minutes.
You're sitting there in a fetal position, rocking back and forth because you don't know who to start at running back. We got you, all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm reeling from the Nick Chubb injury. He was my top pick in my fantasy draft this year.
His Chubb went down. His Chubb went down.
So did
he
mine.
He needs to figure out.
So did my Chubb.
Oh, okay. All right, let's take a break. Football Sunday, brought to you by Grillworks Supply Co. We will do Fantasy Scramble next on 1080 The Fan.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe, brought to you by Grillworks Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Oh, some Childish Gambino to get your Football Sunday ready. Call 1-800-69-420-69. Automatic locks.
I don't know how those guys with those voices have
a lot of cigars, I'm sure.
I don't know how they have jobs in radio.
Trust me, this one's a winner.
That's why they're doing
the
call-in.
Some of them do. I've heard them. It's like, yo, this, I don't know how you're doing this, bro, but congratulations.
I'm loving Colorado against the Ducks.
Kind of like
not just covering money line.
San Diego guy from back in the day.
If you want to text in your starter sit, again, you got like 10 minutes here, at least for the first wave of the morning game. So please, please text in. We'll be doing this every week at 9:45. But how about we just look at the NFL slate today real quickly, huh? Some intriguing matchups.
I got a question for you guys.
Please
Fantasy
do.
Scramble for me.
Please do. Let's scramble it up.
So, yeah, Nick Chubb out for me. I am now reeling, trying to look for running back points for the rest of the season. Pacheco is questionable for today with that hamstring injury.
Oh boy.
And he is a game-time decision, which for fantasy sucks because you don't know if he's going to play or not. So I've essentially had to do like 3 waiver wire pickups. I'm trying to decide whether to start him or Tony Jones Jr., who should be getting most of the carries today for Nolens because Jamal Williams and Alvin Kamara are out. And Tony Jones Jr. had, I believe, a couple of touchdowns for Nolens last week. I'm thinking a combo of him and Taysom Hill would give me the best chance for scoring more points.
Oh, you're going the dual Saints combo?
Because Taysom also, he runs, he passes, he catches the ball. That's, you know, like Cordarrelle Patterson, man. You could really get some sleeper fantasy points. So I'm really reeling, guys. Help me out. Pacheco or Tony Jones Jr. today.
And they're playing the Packers. The Saints are.
It's a 10 a.m. game, so I got
Chicago?
10 minutes to make this decision.
Oh, dear God. At Kansas City, who are they playing today?
Chicago
Bears.
The Bears. Why would I play Pacheco if I'm playing the Bears, actually? If I'm Andy Reid, that might have just answered my question. Maybe give you a week to sit, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Bears have given up 38 points and 27 points to the Packers and Buccaneers, respectively. They have scored only 20 and 17 in those games. So the way that Justin Fields is playing at Kansas City, one of the toughest environments in football, give me Pacheco. I feel like that Bears offense isn't going to be on the field a lot, and that Kansas City offense will be, and they will be putting up points.
I'm with Justin Fields. It's the coach's fault. It's not his fault. It's the coach's. He doesn't suck. The coaches do, and that's the reason that the Bears can't score and they can't win games. So
didn't their offensive coordinator go like AWOL for like a week?
Did something like that.
Like it's not good in Chicago.
I'm saying Pacheco as well.
All right, you guys both say Pacheco?
Yes.
And it looks like as of 9:30, he is going to play. So
there you go, buddy.
All right, I'm going to go with you guys. I'm going to take Tony Jones Jr. off, and we're going to throw Pacheco in the starting lineup.
Let's be real. You could have told me that Tony Jones Jr. played for any team, and I would have believed you. I had no idea who the hell Tony Jones Jr. was. I mean, the Saints offense has been very underwhelming to start this year.
You're not wrong.
And so as far as, you know, catching my eye on the red zone, let's be real, they haven't been on the red zone channel a lot this year.
No.
So.
Oh, and you know what I just realized? The quarterback that I'm facing is Pat Mahomes. So Pacheco would be the better starter because
He gets any rushing touchdowns, yeah, just hope maybe he doesn't get any receiving touchdowns.
No. Well, if he gets a receiving touchdown to Pacheco, then I get the points that Mahomes gets.
I mean, Mahomes is going to get his passing points regardless. So, yeah, if any of those can get to Pacheco, yeah, absolutely right. Hey, text. I mean, there's not a lot of context on it, but on the Vancouver Ford text line, it says, should I start Taysom Hill?
See, I mean, I would say so because...
It depends where.
Yeah, and against who versus, like, what are your options? I mean, the fact that it seems like you don't have any other options, you probably should. Well, I was going to say to you, Jordan, damn, week three, and you are in some dire straits already at the running back position.
It sucks. I'm 2-0, so I'm like, oh, I got started off really, really nicely, but this is terrible. But Taysom wasn't one of my guys that I was really leaning on.
Playing Green Bay at Green Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was more of a pickup on the waiver wire that I thought was interesting, and I'm always looking for guys that can score points multiple ways. Taysom Hill is one of those options, and if you look at him so far this year, at least in my league, I know fantasy points, scoring is different. He had almost no points in week one, but then in week two, just over eight against Carolina, one of the worst teams in the league, obviously because he passed, he caught, and he was able to rush as well. So I would say, if you want to start him at your tight end, or if it's a two flex, because I don't know what you guys are in, I'm in a one flex position league, I would feel comfortable starting him at your second flex position, but I would not start him at your top flex position unless you really had to. So,
don't do it. I'm with you on there, because if he's your number one flex, like I said, boy, rough. Have fun. Have fun working the waiver wire. That was always my favorite part of playing fantasy when I was good at it. And that's when I started to not be good at it, is when, like, life took a hold and I couldn't log in Tuesday morning right away and put in, like, 20 waiver claims. I was one of the best GMs in fantasy for years.
You know, looking up those guys that you don't know.
Create the 30 for 30, all right?
Yeah, blaming Joe Jr.
You see those guys that you don't know score in a game, you're like, huh, who does he play for? Yeah, dude, nobody? Yeah, I'm getting him.
No, I was left behind. I definitely got left behind in the fantasy game. What are some other good games that are happening? We got Jags, Texans. Rashad is a little nervous about starting Trevor Lawrence. Was that what it was?
Yeah, I got Trevor Lawrence.
Because he's 1-3 against the Texans in his career.
Yeah, and Russell Wilson was dynamite last week. And so,
You know, a big old Hail Mary at the end will definitely help fantasy points.
It definitely will, and it did. But he was on the bench, so it didn't matter. And Trevor Lawrence was hot garbage last week.
He's my QB too.
Yeah, so I'm kind of curious about, you know, do I start Danger Wilson or do I just leave, you know, long hair Trevor? You know, Trevor with the good hair.
He had a terrible game last week as well, by the way. Against Kansas City, I think he only scored like 10 fantasy points. It was bad.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I'm going to say stay away from anybody playing the Dolphins. It's just, I think that Dolphins team is just nasty. I've been praying for years that the Dolphins stadium, like all 60,000 people on first downs, make a dolphin squealing noise.
That'd be the most annoying thing in the world.
Exactly.
That's Arco Arena cowbell annoying.
That's how you have that home field advantage right there. Oh. It's just, you have the Broncos coming in and they just hear 60,000 strong squealing like dolphins. I mean, end it now. I don't even want to play.
I mean, the Dolphins do have a good defense, but shoot, we almost beat them last week towards the end of the game. We had a chance to potentially tie the game, beat them. The Patriots are terrible this year, but yet and still, they almost had a chance to go in there against the Dolphins. So I agree. I think they're a good team. I don't know if they're world beaters just yet. But now the AFC East is so weird now with Aaron Rodgers being out. Now it's like, I guess it goes back to the Bills and Dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a weird thing.
Your Patriots get the Jets today.
Yeah.
The
real Jets.
What are you going to do?
The real Jets.
What are you going to do if Zach Wilson just absolutely shreds them?
Man, please.
I don't think so either, but he just has that one day where,
ain't
like,
no dude
look
with
at
a
Zach Wilson. It looks like things kind of click today.
Ain't nobody with a headband gonna shred anybody, man. I'm not gonna look.
Anytime, anywhere, anyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I would be headband quarterback, unfortunately. I'll fully admit that.
You'd be headband guy?
Yes, I would. I'd be making the excuse just like, man, it keeps the sweat out of my eyes. No, I like the way that I look.
Hey.
Shut up.
To quote one Deion Sanders, you look good, you feel good.
Feel good.
Look good,
you
feel good,
play good.
You play good.
Boom. You play good.
It's all good.
They
baby.
Pay good.
Yeah, it's all good.
Doesn't apply to golf.
No, you
at least
paid
for me.
Anyway.
I mean, it's
like trash.
Like, damn, I got all
last.
This new gear. Look at me, I feel good.
Play
all right.
Trash, finish last, still get the bag.
Yeah, that's
what,
beyond.
You know, that's.
That's beyond golf. You could be a pretty crappy NFL or baseball player nowadays and get some cash still.
All
especially
right.
baseball.
We're going to end on this text on the Vancouver 4 text line. Imagine drafting at Joe Burrow, Cooper Kupp, and Nick Chubb.
Oh.
On to basketball season.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Ouch.
Sorry, bud. That
yeah,
little,
I mean.
That little $50 buy-in you had is gone.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully Cooper Kupp, that hamstring injury can start healing up, but that didn't seem like it was boding well to start the year. Chubb, that we saw what happened there, and then, yeah,
good
Joe.
Good news about him, by the way. Looks like he only tore his MCL.
I was going to say, he'll be able to walk again? I mean, his...
And we'll possibly be able to play again, because they were saying career-ending, it would mean all of the ligaments are gone. But
well, this was
just
the same knee he shredded in Georgia, right?
But he did not shred the ACL,
okay,
which
okay.
is the big one.
That's
so
good.
If he shredded the MCL, which I believe is in the middle or in the back, that can heal up way better than the ACL.
Okay.
So way easier.
Well, hopefully there. Joe Burrow, I mean, he was stated. Did we see anything official on him as far as him playing today? I feel like I haven't seen anything about him not
ACL
playing.
ACL tears are like sprained ankles now. These dudes come back from these things, no problem.
Well, they
like,
can come back, but it's not a 4 to 6
these
week.
These used to be. Remember, ACL tears used to mean your career was over.
Yep.
That's what that used to mean. Now it means 9 months of rehab. You'll be back by the season, the start of the season next year.
Well, I mean, look at like Tommy John surgery now, too. You don't even have to have a full surgery. You can have a stabilizing surgery.
Rams, Bengals are one of two Monday night games tomorrow night, and Joe Burrow is still a game time call for that game.
Zach Taylor says it's doubtful Burrow will be active if he doesn't start for Cincinnati. That is, I hate Coach.
Really?
Thanks, Zach.
Never would have thought. Big gulps, huh? All right. First hour in the bag. Flip on Red Zone, but turn down Scott Hansen and turn us up louder. We've got plenty of college football to look at, the rest of the Pac-12 slate, what happened in the national landscape, and then we'll randomly react to Red Zone throughout this next hour, as that usually happens on Football Sunday. So tune in. We got Rashad Taylor. We got Jordan Schultz. Football Sunday brought to you by Grillworks Supply Co. right here on 1080 The Fan.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe. Brought to you by Grillworks Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Oh, some Childish Gambino to get you old.
Football Sunday, baby. Call 1-800-69-420-69. Automatic locks.
I don't know how those guys with those voices have
a lot of cigars, I'm sure.
I don't know how they have jobs in radio.
Trust me, this one's a winner.
They don't. That's why they're doing the
call-in lines. Some of them do.
Lines.
I've heard them. It's like, yo, this. I don't know how you're doing this, bro, but congratulations.
I'm loving Colorado against the Ducks.
Kind of like
not just covering
Hamilton.
Money line.
San Diego guy from back in the day.
So yeah, if you want to text in your starter sit, again, you got like 10 minutes here, at least for the first wave of the morning game. So please, please text in. We'll be doing this every week at 9:45. But how about we just look at the NFL slate today real quickly, huh? Some intriguing matchups.
I got a question for you guys.
Please
Fantasy
do.
Scramble for me.
Please do. Let's scramble it up.
So, yeah, Nick Chubb out for me. I am now reeling, trying to look for running back points for the rest of the season. Pacheco is questionable for today with that hamstring injury.
Oh boy.
And he is a game-time decision, which for fantasy sucks because you don't know if he's going to play or not. So I've essentially had to do like three waiver wire pickups. I'm trying to decide whether to start him or Tony Jones Jr., who should be getting most of the carries today for Nolans because Jamal Williams and Alvin Kamara are out. And Tony Jones Jr. had, I believe, a couple of touchdowns for Nolans last week. I'm thinking a combo of him and Taysom Hill would give me the best chance for scoring more points.
Oh, you going the dual Saints combo?
Because Taysom also, he runs, he passes, he catches the ball. That's, you know, like Cordarrelle Patterson, man. You could really get some sleeper fantasy points. So I'm really reeling, guys. Help me out. Pacheco or Tony Jones Jr. today.
And they're playing the Packers. The Saints are...
Yes, it's a 10 a.m. game, so I got Chicago? 10 minutes to make this decision.
Oh, dear God. Kansas City, who are they playing today?
Chicago?
Chicago Bears.
The Bears. Well, why would I play Pacheco if I'm playing the Bears, actually? If I'm Andy Reid, that might have just answered my question. Maybe give you week to sit, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Bears have given up 38 points and 27 points to the Packers and Buccaneers, respectively. They have scored only 20 and 17 in those games. So the way that Justin Fields is playing at Kansas City, one of the toughest environments in football. Yeah, give me Pacheco. I feel like that Bears offense isn't going to be on the field a lot, and that Kansas City offense will be, and they will be putting up points.
I'm with Justin Fields. It's the coach's fault. It's not his fault. It's the coach's. He doesn't suck. The coaches do. And that's the reason that the Bears can't score and they can't win games. So
didn't their offensive coordinator go like AWOL for like a week?
Yeah, something like that.
Like it's not good in Chicago.
I'm saying Pacheco as well.
All right, you guys both say Pacheco?
Yes.
And it looks like as of 9:30, he is going to play. So
there you go, buddy.
All right, I'm going to go with you guys. I'm going to take Tony Jones Jr. off, and we're going to throw Pacheco in the starting lineup.
Let's be real. You could have told me that Tony Jones Jr. played for any team, and I would have believed you. I had no idea who the hell Tony Jones Jr. was. I mean, the Saints offense has been very underwhelming to start this year.
You're not wrong.
And so as far as, you know, catching my eye on the red zone, let's be real, they haven't been on the red zone channel a lot this year.
No.
So.
Oh, and you know what I just realized? The quarterback that I'm facing is Pat Mahomes. So Pacheco would be the better starter because
if he gets any rushing touchdowns, yeah, just hope maybe he doesn't get any receiving touchdowns.
No. Well, if he gets a receiving touchdown to Pacheco, then I get the points that Mahomes gets.
Yeah, I mean, Mahomes is going to get his passing points regardless. So, yeah, if any of those can get to Pacheco, yeah, absolutely right. Hey, text. I mean, there's not a lot of context on it, but on the Vancouver Ford text line, it says, should I start Taysom Hill?
See, I mean, I would say so because...
It depends where.
Yeah, and against who versus, like, what are your options? I mean, the fact that it seems like you don't have any other options, you probably should. Well, I was going to say to you, Jordan, damn, week three, and you are in some dire straits already at the running back position.
It sucks. I'm 2-0, so I'm like, oh, I got started off really, really nicely, but this is terrible. But Taysom wasn't one of my guys that I was really
leaning
on.
Green Bay at Green Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was more of a pickup on the waiver wire that I thought was interesting, and I'm always looking for guys that can score points multiple ways. Taysom Hill is one of those options, and if you look at him so far this year, at least in my league, I know fantasy points, scoring is different. He had almost no points in week one, but then in week two, just over eight against Carolina, one of the worst teams in the league, obviously because he passed, he caught, and he was able to rush as well. So I would say, if you want to start him at your tight end, or if it's a two flex, because I don't know what you guys are in, I'm in a one flex position league, I would feel comfortable starting him at your second flex position, but I would not start him at your top flex position unless you really had to. So don't do it.
I'm with you on there, because yeah, if he's your number one flex, like I said, boy, rough. Have fun. Have fun working the waiver wire. That was always my favorite part of playing fantasy when I was good at it. And that's when I started to not be good at it, is when, like, life took a hold and I couldn't log in Tuesday morning right away and put in, like, 20 waiver claims. That was, man,
Yeah.
I was one of the best GMs in fantasy for years.
You know, looking up those guys that you don't know.
Create the 30 for 30, all right?
Yeah, blaming Joe Jr.
You see those guys that you don't know score in a game, you're like, huh, who does he play for?
Yeah, dude,
oh, nobody? Yeah, I'm getting him.
No, I was left behind. I definitely got left behind in the fantasy game. What are some other good games that are happening? We got Jags, Texans. Rashad is a little nervous about starting Trevor Lawrence. Was that what it was?
Yeah, I got Trevor Lawrence.
Because he's 1-3 against the Texans in his career.
Yeah. And Russell Wilson was dynamite last week. And so,
You know, a big old Hail Mary at the end will definitely help some fantasy points.
It definitely will. And it did. But he was on the bench, so it didn't matter. And Trevor Lawrence was hot garbage last week.
He's
so,
my QB, too.
Yeah. So I'm kind of curious about, you know, do I start Danger Wilson or do I just leave, you know, long hair Trevor? You know, Trevor with the good hair.
He had a terrible game last week as well, by the way. Against Kansas City, I think he only scored like 10 fantasy points. It was bad.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I'm going to say stay away from anybody playing the Dolphins. It's just, I think that Dolphins team is just nasty. I've been praying for years that the Dolphins stadium, like all 60,000 people on first downs, make a dolphin squealing noise.
Oh my god! That'd be the most annoying thing in the world.
Exactly,
that's Arco Arena cowbell annoying.
That's how you have that home field advantage right there. Oh. It's just you have the Broncos coming in and they just hear 60,000 strong squealing like dolphins. I mean, end it now. I don't even want to play.
I mean, the Dolphins do have a good defense, but shoot, we almost beat them last week towards the end of the game. We had a chance to potentially tie the game, beat them. The Patriots are terrible this year, but yet and still, they almost had a chance to go in there against the Dolphins. So I agree. I think they're a good team. I don't know if they're world beaters just yet. But now the AFC East is so weird now with Aaron Rodgers being out. Now it's like, oh, I guess it goes back to the Bills and Dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a weird thing.
Your Patriots get the Jets today.
Yeah.
The
real Jets.
What are you going to do?
The real Jets.
What are you going to do if Zach Wilson just absolutely shreds them?
Man, please.
I don't think so either, but he just has that one day where
ain't
like,
no
and
dude
look
with
at
a headband
Zach Wilson. It looks like things kind of click today.
Ain't nobody with a headband gonna shred anybody, man. I'm not gonna
anytime, anywhere, anyone.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm cool.
I would be headband quarterback, unfortunately. I'll fully admit that.
You'd be headband guy?
Yes, I would. I'd be making the excuse just like, hey, man, it keeps the sweat out of my eyes. No, I like the way that I look.
Hey,
shut up.
To quote one Deion Sanders, you look good. You feel good.
Feel good.
Look good.
You
feel good.
Feel
play
good.
Good.
You play good.
Boom.
You play good.
It's all good.
They
baby.
Pay good.
Yeah. It's all good.
Doesn't apply to golf.
No,
at least for me.
Anyway.
I mean,
you
it's
like trash.
Like, damn, I got all
last.
This new gear. Look at me. I feel good.
Play
all right.
Trash. Finish last. Still get the bag.
Yeah, that's
what,
beyond.
You know, that's.
That's beyond golf. You could be a pretty crappy NFL or baseball player nowadays and get some cash still.
All
especially
right.
Baseball.
We're gonna end on this text on the Vancouver Ford text line. Imagine drafting at Joe Burrow, Cooper Kupp, and Nick Chubb.
Oh.
On to basketball season.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Ouch.
Sorry, bud. That
yeah,
little,
I mean.
That little $50 buy-in you had is gone.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully Cooper Kupp, that hamstring injury can start healing up, but that didn't seem like it was boding well to start the year. Chubb, that we saw what happened there, and then, yeah,
good
Joe.
Good news about him, by the way. Looks like he only tore his MCL.
I was going to say, he'll be able to walk again? I mean, his...
We'll possibly be able to play again, because they were saying career-ending, it would mean all of the ligaments are gone. But
well, this was the same knee he shredded in Georgia, right?
But he did not shred the ACL,
okay,
which is the big one.
That's
so
good.
If he shredded the MCL, which I believe is in the middle or in the back, that can heal up way better than the ACL.
Okay.
So way easier.
Well, hopefully there. Joe Burrow, I mean, he was stated. Did we see anything official on him as far as him playing today? I feel like I haven't seen anything about him not
ACL
playing.
ACL tears are like sprained ankles now.
These dudes
come back from these things, no problem.
Well, they can come back, but it's not a 4 to 6
weeks. These used to be, remember ACL tears used to mean your career was over.
Yep.
That's what that used to mean. Now it means 9 months of rehab. You'll be back by the start of the season next year.
Well, I mean, look at like Tommy John surgery now, too. You don't even have to have a full surgery. You can have a stabilizing surgery.
Rams, Bengals are one of two Monday night games tomorrow night, and Joe Burrow is still a game time call for that game.
Zach Taylor says it's doubtful Burrow will be active if he doesn't start for Cincinnati. I hate Coach.
Really?
Thanks, Zach.
Never would have thought. Big gulps, huh? All right. First hour in the bag. Flip on Red Zone, but turn down Scott Hansen and turn us up louder. We've got plenty of college football to look at, the rest of the Pac-12 slate, what happened in the national landscape, and then we'll randomly react to Red Zone throughout this next hour, as that usually happens on Football Sunday. So tune in. We got Rashad Taylor. We got Jordan Schultz. Football Sunday brought to you by Grillworks Supply Co. right here on 1080 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.